The wheel of time turns, and ages come and pass, leaving memories that become legend. Legend fades to myth, and even myth is long forgotten when the age that gave it birth comes again. In one age, called the Third Age by some, an age yet to come, an age long past, a married couple decided to start a podcast.
This is Shade of My Heart, a Wheel of Time podcast. I'm Josh, and this is my wife, Kat.
Hello, happy Saturday.
Glad to be back with you all. We're off for a little while, but we do have a good episode for you today because we are looking at one of my favorite characters, a man's man, a man like no other, a man called Lan.
A man called Lan. Lan-Man-Dragoran.
Lan-Man-Dragoran.
What a cool name is that already?
Man-Dragoran? Come on. Could you get a cooler name than that?
I don't think so.
It's so awesome. So, Kat, tell me, who is Lan and what's he all about?
Lan-Man-Dragoran is from Shinar. Well, actually, he's from Malkyr.
Malkyr.
But he lives in Shinar because his kingdom was destroyed when he was just a little baby.
Yes.
And
he would have been king of Malkyr.
He would have been king. His dad was the king. He was given a sword in the cradle, basically, because of his future kingship.
Not just any sword. It's the sword of Malkyrie kings.
Oh, right.
And it is a power-wrought sword that they haven't got into in the show yet. I'm not sure if they will or not, but I don't think it's a big plot
spoiler. It's not a big
deal.
It's just cool.
But during the War of Power, the Aes Sedai made blades that would never be dull. And some of them have survived, and he's got one.
It was only for Malkyrie kings, the one that he has.
Yeah, so that sword is like unbreakable, and it's always sharp.
And he knows how to use it.
Yeah, he was raised to be a warrior. Mm-hmm. He was brought up by warriors. Mm-hmm. Because basically, in a nutshell, what happened was his uncle tried to take the throne, and in the ensuing political struggle, it weakened the armies of Malkyr to the point that the country was vulnerable to Trolloc attack. And so as the defenses were being overrun, the king and queen entrusted baby Lan to their best warriors, mm-hmm. and only a few made it out alive. But he was raised by the best warriors around because, of course, they're borderlanders, and borderlanders are not like Southerners, not like Southlanders.
They live right on the edge of the Blight, and which we saw in that episode.
They're always having to be on guard against Trolloc attack. And so any borderlander man is a formidable warrior, but a warrior
borderlander is like the best of the best.
Is the best of the best.
Think of like the samurais, you know. Like.
Yes, and I appreciated that in the show they showed them to be that kind of samurai culture.
Yeah.
I was a little disappointed, actually, that some of the Shinarans looked Anglo. They looked white. I was like...
I think they're trying to be very, like, all different races and all the different countries and stuff.
Yeah. I would have kind of liked it if they were all that, like, samurai Japanese looking.
Yeah,
but
that'd be
cool. It's fine. It's fine.
Yeah. Totally fine.
Yeah. But so Lan was raised to be a warrior. He never anticipated being a warder.
Yes, which we can't probably tell.
Oh, yes, we can.
We can?
Absolutely.
That's probably going to be in the show, don't you think?
That's not a big spoiler.
Okay.
So basically, in a nutshell, again, what happened was Lan and Moraine ran into each other. They weren't seeking each other out or anything. And she saw this guy.
How awesome he was.
Is driven. He is a man of great discipline and skill.
They didn't care for one another in the beginning.
No. She
hid her...
kind of pranked him.
Yeah.
She thought that it would be funny to sneak up on him and try to take his sword. And you don't do that
to... Funny isn't the word.
Yes, yeah. Funny is the word. She thought it would be funny. She was a prankster. When she was newly raised Aes Sedai, she loved pranks. And she thought it would be funny. But...
She did not know who she was messing with.
To try to take a borderland sword is very dangerous. She's lucky he didn't kill her.
Yeah.
Because he could have.
Yeah.
But he did throw her in the lake and into
that's
the
right.
water, and she
that
didn't.
Was funny.
She did not care
she
for that.
She kept trying to get back at him.
Yep.
She but made, he just kept his cool, which made her even more mad.
Yep, because she wanted a reaction, and he was not going to give it to her. So she kept like making a bunch of ants infest his clothing and bite him.
If you haven't read New Spring, read it. It's really those interactions are pretty funny.
Yeah.
It's how they meet and how.
Now, Lan in the show is much more emotive than Lan
True.
In the books.
Yes.
He's still pretty stoic in the show, but in the books, he shows, like, nothing. And if he, like, widens his eyes a little bit, it's as much as gasping for somebody else.
Yeah.
So he's very, very controlled, very disciplined.
I like that they've given him emotion in the show because...
Yes. For
the written word, it's fine.
Yeah.
But as an actor, first of all, it would be really hard to never show any emotions. But also, like the stuff with him and Nynaeve, we've talked about a little bit before, but we need to see those little glances to show that there is some sort of romantic interest there. And
yeah. It's pretty boring to watch someone that shows nothing on their face.
Yeah. Pretty boring.
It's not interesting.
Yeah. And I think Daniel Hinney is doing such a fantastic job.
Yeah.
We talked about this before. A lot of like diehard book fans, which we are diehard book fans, but we've seen a lot of backlash of how emotional Lan can be. But I loved the episode with the death of the warder and Lan had this like...
He had to mourn for all of them.
Yeah, he was like the
he was,
mourner.
Like, beating his chest. And
which I've read that's...
Yeah. That was great.
In the Korean culture, which I think Daniel Hinney is Korean.
Yes, he is.
So
he's half Korean.
Yeah. So like I love that it was part of, you know, his background culturally, or, mm-hmm. you know, maybe not him personally, but the culture of his
yeah.
ancestors.
Yeah.
That well, they were able to write
that
into
the show.
From
what I understand, he spent a lot of time in Korea. So while he is half Korean, he definitely has a right to
oh yeah for
to
sure
that culture.
And I love that they had that in there. And I yeah. thought. Like, the fact that Lan is so stoic most of the time, for him to take on that role, to me, it was, like, this beautiful, emotional thing. And even, I think, the way that Moraine, like, shed a tear while he was doing it,
mm-hmm.
you know, it showed that she, we know that warder bond, the warder Aes Sedai bond is so deep that she can feel his grief. And she even cries over how deeply he's grieving.
Mm-hmm.
I loved it. Anyway, a lot of book fans were like, Lan would never do that. Lan was, you know, stone face man. They even talk about his face looking like it's chiseled from stone.
Yeah, they always call him stone face and stuff.
But it's, I don't know. I loved it. I love that
I
we're seeing his emotions.
I do too. I like
in
it.
In the show.
Now, one thing that's big with Lan in the books that he hasn't really done this a lot in the show, but duty is
duty.
Everything. Everything to him.
Mm-hmm.
And he's always telling the Emmons Field boys in particular to...
Yeah.
Do your duty,
yeah.
be a man.
Duty is heavier than a mountain. Death is lighter than a feather.
That's right. That's the saying that he tells Rand. And
so good.
It really means a lot to Rand. I'd say Lan is one of the most influential people on Rand.
100%.
Because Rand deeply respects Lan.
Yeah. Well, and what we didn't see in the show that is all throughout the books is Lan teaching Rand the sword.
Yes. I'm very much hoping that they still... do that because that's a big deal that for Rand to learn how to use
mm-hmm.
his father's sword
mm-hmm.
and Lan is the one who teaches him. And along with teaching him the sword, he teaches him how to be a man, how to take responsibility and
mm-hmm.
do your duty. Even when you don't want to, you do what you have to do. Death
yeah.
is easy.
Anybody can die.
Anybody can die.
Everybody does.
Any fool can die.
Yeah. But the duty is what you really have to do. And obviously Rand's duty is huge.
It's huge.
We know he's the Dragon Reborn. The
yeah.
fate of the world is on his shoulders.
Yeah, and he never asked for it.
Mm-mm.
Didn't seek it.
Definitely didn't want
it. But it's his.
Yep.
And no one can take it from him.
Yeah.
So that's going to be a big deal moving forward. I hope that they'll bring that out in the show.
Yeah.
Lan is a force of nature almost in battle.
Mm.
He is relentless. He is fast, he is accurate, skilled, strong.
We got to see some of that. They're really cool. Like in the very first episode, when he and Moraine were fighting and she was,
yeah.
you know, throwing the stones, at the Trollocs, and he's like protecting her by doing all this yeah. swordplay around her. Yeah. Oh, it was so good.
In the books, they described it as he flowed
yeah.
through the forms of the sword, and where he went, death followed with him.
Yeah.
He's so awesome. He does not channel. He doesn't need to channel. His sword is one with him, and he knows how to use it to great effect.
Yeah.
We see him killing Trollocs, Murdral, Drakkar, humans. Anyone who faces Lan is going to get the wrong side.
Yeah. And there's, you know, we talk about the Warder Bond a little bit, I think. We can yeah. talk about that. So there's a strong desire to protect his Aes Sedai.
Mm-hmm.
He is, the bond that they have is like deeper than a marriage. It's usually not, well, I guess it doesn't have to be a romantic relationship.
It's, Lan and Moraine don't. It's not in their case.
Right.
Sometimes Greens have that. But
right, but it doesn't have to be. That's not from the Warder Bond.
Yeah.
But he's got this like deep seated desire to protect her, which is interesting because sometimes she's like, "I need you to not come with me this time," and he
doesn't like that.
Does not like that at all.
And they brought that out in the show too.
Yep.
Where he does not like to be parted from her, and I'm glad that in the show, it's reflective of the books and that they have more of a partnership.
Yes.
Their bond is not master servant. It's yes. a partnership.
Yes.
Where she consults with him and he can advise her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's something in the books. It's somebody, Nynaeve maybe, says something about or no, I guess it was in the show where Nynaeve talks to the warders about being subservient to them and they're yeah. like, "No, no.
No.
It's not what this is.
We're not servants."
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah. Of course, when we're talking about Lan, his motivation is to fight the shadow.
Yeah.
And he sees his duty to revenge himself on the Blight and the Dark One for what they did to his people.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the sales pitches, if you will, for the argument that won him over for Moraine was, "You will be fighting the shadow
right.
with me." And I have.
She asked to be him to be her warder.
Yeah, she said, "You know, you're not. I'm not asking you to abandon your fight along the Blight. I'm asking you to fight the shadow in a different way."
Yeah.
And so that's really his goal in life, is to fight the shadow. He is driven man, and he and Moraine are much alike in that regard. They're both
definitely
people of conviction and focus. And that makes for a dangerous combination. He also has an interesting relationship with Nynaeve, where he was certainly not looking for
love.
He thought he had closed his heart to that.
Yep.
But she was able to break down the walls. Now, he is, in the books, a lot older than her. Like, old enough
like
to be her
years,
father.
Yeah.
Yeah. They also hint that he's had many women
yes.
over the
oh,
years.
Yes.
But there's while the whole, while they share his bed, they don't really get at his heart, is
right.
how it's
yeah.
described.
Yeah.
And I guess the explanation for that would be chicks dig scars and
yeah. strong guys.
A warrior. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
He's definitely a man's man.
Yeah.
He is no joke.
He's like, and I guess you could sort of see him as like a, you know, he's like mysterious.
He is.
For the women, for the ladies.
Maybe he's got that dark brooding.
Yeah, right, exactly. On. Just like you, babe.
I've been called many things. Dark and brooding is not
no,
one of them.
No. Yes, they do have a very interesting, and she's very like, she didn't really want it either. And she tries
no.
to kind of suppress it. But I really love their relationship in the show. I'm very much enjoying it.
I'm glad the way that they've done it with like this growing respect and appreciation.
Yes.
Blooming into more.
Yeah.
Now, in the books, they don't sleep together.
No, I think we talked about that when we talked about the episode, though.
Yeah, we did. But I don't super love it, but it does
it's
show
their
bond.
It's not her style. She's such a, like, prissy.
Yeah, very proper. Kind
proper,
of
prudish.
Yeah, prudish.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
A little surprising that they did that for the show, but that's okay.
But we are really happy with how Lan is being portrayed. Daniel Henney, like, Kat said, is doing a wonderful job. Shout out to Daniel Henney. We'd love to do an interview with you.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. I did want to bring up one more thing about Lan, and that is the Aiel situation and how they know of him, and he like doesn't know how.
Yes.
They call him
Aniline.
Aniline.
Yeah, it means the man alone, the man who is a nation.
Yeah.
One man army.
It's really cool when that is really cool in New Spring.
Now, he's fought the Aiel quite a lot.
Right.
Which is how they know of him. But he's never been their friend.
Right. He's confused, though, when they're like, they call him that and then they just like peace out.
Yeah.
I love it.
I'm interested to see the show's portrayal of the Aiel moving forward, because so far we saw Rand's mother.
Right.
But she didn't say a word.
Mm-mm. She just fought like really awesome.
That battle, the Blood Snows, Lan was fighting in that that battle. It was big, so you didn't see him in that scene. But he was there that day. And he wasn't yet bonded to Moraine. In fact, during the Blood Snow, Moraine wasn't raised
from the Accepted yet.
Any final thoughts about Lan Mandragoran?
He's awesome. And one of my favorite characters. I love what the show's doing.
I believe I read years ago that Robert Jordan said that he aspired to be Lan.
That's not surprising.
Yeah. I mean, who doesn't?
Everybody wants to be Lan, except I like the Daniel Henney version because I like how he's in touch with his emotions. It's very nice.
At only sometimes.
But only sometimes.
Mostly he's very much in control.
Yes. Yep. I think that's all I've got. You got anything else?
I don't think so. I think we covered Lan pretty well. So next week, we're going to look at Moraine. Well,
we're not going to say next week.
Next episode.
Still in our 2 week or 1 month. I don't know.
Occasional.
I'm sorry to all of you faithful friends out there. But as the show is not on, our material is fewer and farther between. But again, leave us a message on Facebook or anywhere if you want to hear something from us. Yes,
ask us questions. We love Wheel of Time questions of all kinds. So
yeah.
Please don't hesitate.
And may you always find water and shade.